You're tuned to 89.1 WGLT.org. I'm Laura Kennedy with this WGLT Datebook. 2020 marks the 90th year a certain Titian-haired teen detective has discovered the hidden staircase, the secret of the old clock, the clue in the diary, and many more intriguing mysteries. Over nine decades, the Nancy Drew book series has been cherished by readers. The resourceful and spirited sleuth was created to be a strong female role model, one that has endured over the years. That's according to Mary Jeanette Moran, a professor of English at Illinois State University, who specializes in young people's literature. While other fictional heroines have fallen by the wayside, Moran says Nancy Drew remains popular today because the character has the right stuff.
Nancy has always been intrepid, eminently capable, and she has a lot of autonomy. She's able to exert control over her life in a way that many girls and women throughout the 20th century and into the 21st feel that they can't. She's an early example of this kind of heroine that has remained popular. And then she's also been updated over and over and over again. So she retains those essential qualities, but different authors and different artists have figured out ways to make her relevant for different time periods as well.
So what impact has Nancy had on young people's literature? When the books came out 90 years ago, did other publishers sit up and take notice and were influenced by this?
Nancy Drew was written as part of the Stratemeyer Syndicate, which was a publishing consortium created by Edward Stratemeyer, who was really a brilliant marketer. He noticed that series fiction was very popular, and it had existed before, well before Nancy Drew, even back into the 19th century in some iterations. And he would come up with plots, basic storylines, and then would hire out the actual writing to ghostwriters. So Carolyn Keene, the author of Nancy Drew, is a pen name and always has been. Stratemeyer was capitalizing on this trend that he saw, and then he put into place Nancy Drew, the Hardy Boys, the Bobbsey Twins, and numerous, almost uncountable numbers of other series books. And so he put those into place. Part of it was the way the Stratemeyer Syndicate worked. They took this model and just replayed it over and over again with other mystery series like Cherry Ames, who was a nurse, and Vicky Barr, who was a stewardess, a flight attendant. And so Nancy certainly had influence there. And then you still see her influence in teen girl sleuths, even again to the end of the 20th century and the beginning of the 21st. The TV show Veronica Mars is often seen as a storyline that comes out of that tradition of the girl sleuth. And I think it's also important to mention the ways in which Nancy, despite all her positive images, also plays into ideas of privilege that are unstated in the books, but sometimes played up in the more recent adaptations. So Nancy is popular, I think, because she challenges a lot of gender stereotypes, but at the same time reinforces racial stereotypes about economic privilege.
Well, how different are the ones that are written today than the ones that came out, you know, 50, 60, 70, 80, 90 years ago? How are they, you know, addressing mm-hmm. privilege in the new books?
If you think back to the earliest books from the 1930s, they are filled with racist stereotypes. People of color appear really only as villains or as suspicious characters in some way. In the 1950s, they were updated partly to remove some of those stereotypes, although they did that by just taking out all the characters of color and just making the books all white. The very newest iteration of Nancy Drew is a show on the CW network, which updates the series in a number of ways, but one of which is that, like a lot of the CW shows, they're intentionally diversifying the cast. So if you look at just the representation issues between that image of Nancy Drew and the one from the 30s and the one from the 50s, they're, I think, good anchors for how the books are responding to and thinking about ideas about race at each of those times.
So clearly, you're not done with Nancy Drew.
I don't think so.
As a scholar, can you talk about how she has influenced scholars of young people's literature?
I think she has been influential, partly in drawing people who love her books to study them critically, and partly in opening up, even within the study of children's literature, there are still levels of what has been considered high and low culture, just as there have been in literature in general. And whereas for a long time, children's literature in general was considered to be low culture or popular culture, within children's literature, series books had that reputation for a long time. And so as scholars started to study Nancy Drew as one of the more popular and enduring series heroines, they also were drawn into studying other series. So I, for example, have worked on a character named Judy Bolton, who came about around the same time as Nancy Drew, but has some differences in terms of how, a lot of differences in terms of how the series was created. So that's just one example of a lesser known series that, you know, you can write about partly because there's already work on these more established characters like Nancy Drew.
We all know that Carolyn Keene was a pseudonym. Mm-hmm. All through the years of the people writing Nancy Drew, have they always been women?
As far as I know, I don't know of any people who have been revealed to be male authors. Now, that's from the older ones. So Mildred Wirt Benson was the first Carolyn Keene. She was a graduate of the University of Iowa, one of the first women to get a journalism degree from Iowa, and then Harriet Stratemeyer Adams, Edward Stratemeyer's daughter, picked up the series in the 50s and did a lot of that rewriting. And then the more recent iterations, like the Nancy Drew case files from the 1980s, it's certainly possible there could have been male authors, you know, writing under Carolyn Keene. I'm also interested in the fact that there's a recent graphic novel which follows up on a graphic novel about the Hardy Boys. And in this graphic novel, Nancy is supposedly killed.
Yes, I read about that.
Yeah, and it's written, and that one has a male author. Other than that, there certainly haven't been any high-profile ones.
The one thing that I really liked about Nancy Drew was her friendship with Bess and George.
Mm-hmm.
And it was just a good example of female friendship, and they were
yes.
supportive of one another, and they had went on these adventures together, and they, mm-hmm. they didn't have women being pitted against women. It was
right.
supportive, and I loved that about the Nancy Drew
mm-hmm.
books.
Yeah, and that's certainly been something that's attracted scholarly attention too, the way that, and some have argued that Nancy is more independent of than some of the other sleuths. Judy Bolton, for example, has a more communal aspect, but you're absolutely right that Beth and George are always there. In some version or another, they always appear in the various stages of Nancy Drew's existence. And it's this female community. Sometimes they argue, as happens in real life with our friends, but they're always there to support Nancy, both, you know, as people in this world that's been created by the novel, and narratively, they're always there to support her as well.
Is it fair to say that Nancy is a feminist?
Oh, yeah, I think so. even if the author, I don't know if the authors would have described her that way. I don't know if Nancy Drew, the character, would describe her in that way. But in terms of someone who has expanded our ideas of what women are capable of, even within a patriarchal society, I would say absolutely Nancy Drew is a feminist.
That's Illinois State University English professor Mary Jeanette Moran. You can hear more from her, including what her favorite Nancy Drew book is, at our website, wglt.org. I'm Laura Kennedy.